Okay, tonight, our text and our topic is from Jesus' words in Mark 6:31. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. Mark 6:31, where Jesus said to his disciples, who he had just sent them out ministering, and then they did that, they came back to him, and he said to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. Now the Lord has drawn my heart and my attention to those two words, come aside. I love those two words. And it has the sense of speaking privacy and solitude. When he says, come aside, it's to a private place, to a quiet place with him. So it's an invitation to him, to his disciples, to us, and anything that Jesus speaks and we look at as an invitation is really a command, because anything that he says and tells us to do, we need to do and to obey. And in his love and his care for his disciples, he said, come aside. I've seen what you've done. You've been working so hard, ministering so hard, you haven't even had time to eat. So come aside and let's go to a deserted place. Now, I think for any of us, when we hear those words from anybody, maybe a husband or a friend, if they say to us, come aside, or if they say to us, come over, come sit with me, let's just come and be together, that is a blessing. It makes you feel wanted, that this person singled you out maybe and then wants you to come and be with them. It makes you feel special. And Jesus is calling us morning by morning, day by day, to come aside with him. Now, Jesus is our example in all things. We read the Gospels, we learn about him, we learn about the Father, about the heart of the Father and the character, and we also learn by his example. And he modeled for us in the Gospels the need for solitude, for that coming aside, in that he often himself went aside by himself, other times with his disciples, to rest, to be alone with the Father, and to pray. So I'm going to read several verses to you where Jesus did that. He came aside. And we're going to have them on the screen so you can follow along. You can jot down references if you want to and read the context later if you want to. So are they up there? Not yet. Okay. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by a boat to a deserted place by himself. That was Matthew 14:23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. Matthew 15:29, Jesus departed from there, skirted the Sea of Galilee, and went up on the mountain, and he sat down there. Matthew 20:17. Now Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road. And he said to them, Mark 6:31 and 32, as we just read, and he said to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they did not have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves." Mark 7:24. From there he arose and he went to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered a house and wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. Luke 4:42. Now when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place. And the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. Luke 6:12. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer to God. Luke 9:28. Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, John, and James, and he went up on the mountain to pray. John 6:15. Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. Now, if Jesus just did this once, it should get our attention. But that's a lot of times that he, and this is just what it was recorded, that he would remove himself from people, from whatever situation, and go away by himself in prayer for rest. Then, because he is shepherding those disciples, teaching them to minister, teaching them to serve and to be fishers of men and those who will go minister to people, he took them aside for that rest, for that time alone with him. Now, God created the Sabbath. We've all heard of the Sabbath. Genesis 1:31-2:2, then God saw everything that he made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. The next book in Exodus, when God took Moses up on the mountain to give him the commands, he said, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that was in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and he hallowed it." So God, right from the beginning, he modeled and he showed us, you know, mankind, that we're to work those 6 days and have that Sabbath rest. It is a rest. It is ceasing from what you've been doing for the previous 6 days. And it is keeping that day separate from the rest of those 6 days, keeping it separate from that and keeping it holy unto him for worship of him. Now, there are many reasons God does what he does, and institutes commands and those kind of things. But sometimes, sometimes it's for one reason, sometimes it's for many reasons, and sometimes we understand them and sometimes we don't, which I'm okay. I like to understand just about everything in life, except I'm okay with not knowing. There's mystery in the Bible. It's like, okay, he's God, I'm not, I'll just go for it, you know? But, so there's a lot that I don't understand. So the Sabbath to me is interesting because God didn't need rest. He's modeling it for us. It wasn't like hard work for him to speak the world into existence, because that's what he did. But he modeled that for his people. He created our bodies. He knows what our bodies need. And he knew you can work 6 days, but you've got to take a day off. You have to rest. And that's the day you're going to fully worship me. We worship him every day, but that's the day that's set aside for that all-day communion, if you want to call it that. Now, we know that Jesus fulfilled the law, so we are no longer under the law, so we don't have to observe the Sabbath. The Jews today still observe the Sabbath. And the idea of a Sabbath for us is still needed. Christians, right from the beginning, have designated Sundays as that day that we to set aside to worship the Lord. People go to church on Sundays. Many of us remember when we were young that all the stores were closed on Sundays. I mean, everything was closed. Everybody in this country knew that Sunday is God's day. Sunday is the day you go to church. Even if you didn't go to church, you knew people go to church. That's what they do. And they don't work, and they're not busy. They took Sunday drives, and it was a relaxing day or a church day kind of thing. And our country, as you don't even want to think about how far we've fallen, that today, I mean, people don't even remember that, because, you know, the younger generations, they don't remember that. Everything has been, one day is, it just, these days just kind of run into the other. You know, it's not just this week and this rest and this week and this rest. People are working all kinds of hours, all kinds of shifts, all kinds of days. People don't even know people go to church. You know, it's just so sad. So the pace of our culture has just gone extreme. And unfortunately, many Christians have gone right along with that pace of life. How many of us set aside an entire day for God? Just for him. Now, we go to church on Sundays, and some of us go to church on Sunday nights. So part of the day goes strictly for him. Part of that day goes to family dinners, Sunday dinners. Part of it goes to entertainment. Part of it goes to self. And I'm not saying that these things are wrong. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not trying to shame anybody or put condemnation on anybody. But my point is, we're not under the law, so we don't have to be strict and legalistic about it. We have a quiet time with the Lord. We should have a quiet time with the Lord. But when do we, or have we ever, set an entire day aside for the Lord? You hear him say, come aside, and you actually do it. Or a half a day. 2 hours, an hour. We can be very disciplined in our quiet time, and I hope we are, because we're not going to survive if we don't. And once again, this is no condemnation, because I am also speaking to myself, okay? These are the things that the Lord has been speaking to me for a few months. And when he does that, I hesitate. I'm like, oh, I don't plan on, okay, well, that's, you're doing that, now I'll go teach that. I don't do that. It's like, you really want me to share this, huh? Okay, because it's for me, and it's been convicting, and I don't have a tendency toward condemnation, but I know that some people do. And so I don't ever want to be a part of that at all. While Jesus was on this earth, he had a physical body just like ours. He was all God, but he was all man. So the way the physiology, it all works just like ours. So he got tired. He got hungry, he got thirsty, all the things that our bodies need affected him in the same way. And he knew that he needed time away from all the people, from the work, to spend with his Father. And I just have always looked at that thing. Man, if he needed that, how much more do we need that? And the world back then was much quieter than it is today. And Jesus loved and cared for his disciples, and he loves and cares for us. And he knew they were tired. He knew they were hungry. He knew they needed rest. And they weren't doing that for themselves. So he said to them, come aside. Come aside for a while to a deserted place. That means there's nobody else there. It's private. There's solitude and rest. And rest. He didn't even say, come aside and pray with me. He just said to come aside and rest. In the Amplified, he said to them, come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while. For there were many people who were continually coming and going, and they couldn't even find time to eat. And I know when we have small children, that's how I felt, and I only had two. You know, you're never alone. You're never alone. There's people always around you. In the NLT, he said, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. Doesn't that sound wonderful? For Jesus to speak that, but he is speaking that to us today, right now. Let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't have time to eat, so they left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. They actually did it. It wasn't just a nice idea. Like, yes, that would be wonderful. And then we don't do it. No. Now, if you know that verse, you know the next verse, what it said. And that is all the people jumped in their boats and followed them. So they didn't get that time alone. Now, we know that they got to eat, because that's when he had them sit down and he fed the 5,000 or the whatever thousand that time was. But That's not the point. That's not our focus. I think Jesus and his disciples were much more physically tired than we get today. I can get pretty tired. I know some of you can get pretty tired. But they walked everywhere. You think about that. And they didn't have any support in their sandals. They had flat sandals. And they walked, and they were not paved roads, they weren't sidewalks. This was dirt, this was, you know, paths with ruts in it and rocks. And if you've been to Israel, you know there are a lot of rocks still to this day. There are a lot of rocks. And they just walked everywhere. That, now, sure, you're conditioned for that, but you still get tired. We do not walk for transportation. We have cars, or some of us might have a bike for transportation, but probably not many of us use that for real transportation. We use it for exercise. But so we don't have the time that they had to process, to think, to talk things over with the Lord. Maybe we're doing it in our car, but guess what's happening while we're driving in our car? There's just noise. There's people pulling out in front of you or making gestures to you. It's not a real peaceful, your car is not that peaceful, and you have to be alert. So we don't have that time as they did to walk. You remember the two disciples after Jesus was crucified and rose from the dead, and they were walking, and they were just talking, and they're talking about the things of the Lord, because they were going from this town to this town. You know, we don't do that much at all. So we need to actually make the time. And that is something that I think we neglect. Again, we may be very disciplined in our quiet time, and that's good, and don't let up on that. But more time at different times of the day, or once again, for a half a day, for a full day, for 2 hours, for 1 hour, whatever it might be, that is completely separate from our quiet time. We, as in me too, need to make that time. It is not going to happen. If you have thought about this before and it hasn't happened, it's probably not going to happen unless you make it happen. Jesus is always speaking to us. This word is alive, and it's for today. Tomorrow, it will be for tomorrow. And so when you open that and he says to you, come aside, he is speaking about come aside with me today. He knows, and we do too, knows we need physical rest. Obviously, we all sleep at night. Some of us sleep much better than others. But we need physical rest, not just sleep. We need physical rest. We need mental rest. Again, now some of us need a lot more mental rest than others. I don't like a lot of noise, so I need rest from noise. Maybe, you know, there are other people where they always have a TV, a radio, or something on. And I suppose if they can rest that way, then that's great. I'm just not one that can do that. But we need mental rest. We need emotional rest. And we need spiritual rest and renewal. Everything in this world is working against us. Okay? It's all the distractions, all the noise, all the troubles, all those problems that we get hit with just because of life and fallen man and sin. It's working, you know, it's the pressure, it's coming against us. And we need to make that time. Now, Damien mentioned Sunday morning, and what a great message. Both Sunday morning and Sunday night were just so good. He mentioned on Sunday morning that we are a triunity. We are body, soul, and spirit. So when you've got that triunity, we are, everything affects, you know, one thing affects the other, which then affects the other, which then affects the other, you know. Our bodies, when our bodies get tired, and tired enough, it will affect our mind. You have sleep deprivation, your mind does not work as well. You're impaired. You're foggy headed, or you know you're not as quick. So it's affecting that. When our minds are tired, when they get overloaded, that in turn can make us physically tired. It's we are all connected. And then either one of those, especially both of them together, can affect us emotionally, especially as women. We can just, sometimes if you get too tired, you want to cry. That's affecting you emotionally. Because everything, again, is connected, and when all of that's out of whack, it's going to affect us spiritually. It just is, because that's how it all works. So it's vital for us to make that time to get the rest that we need. Now, when Jesus was speaking to me about this, and those two words came, come aside, he really had my attention on that. The thing is, you need to make the time. It's a priority. You need to make it a priority. Now, throughout my walk with the Lord, he has spoken this message to me personally many, many times. Probably because I needed it spoken to me many, many times. I never neglected my quiet time, and I always knew I should make more alone time with him and for him, and more time for rest and restoration, especially during trials, during spiritual warfare, or any of those kind of things where it just makes you weary, or physical things that just make you weary. As a newer Christian, there was a book that was out, and it was titled, When I Relax, I Feel Guilty. I remembered reading that title and went, me too. That's what, because of the way I was up, you know, brought up and my temperament, I had to be busy, always busy, or I didn't feel productive. So, and there are a lot of times Damien said, you are creating work for yourself. And a lot of us do that. We create work because we don't know how to sit still. We don't know how to be quiet. We don't know how to rest. Resting was never modeled for my, neither parent ever took a nap, ever, until, you know, in their late 80s, my dad would fall asleep in the chair, or, you know, or my mom too. You know, but you don't take, and it was drilled into us, only sissies take naps. So, you know, it wasn't in my mindset. So I had to be busy. My sister, oh gosh, Talk about a busy kid. She was a busy kid, and she's a busy older woman. Oh, doesn't that sound terrible? She's 2 years older than me, and she's an older woman. My parents would take us to Disneyland, and we would ride in the car, you know, and back then it took a long time to get there because there was no Highway 5. And I would look out the window and sing. She had a binder, and she had sheets of paper, and she's writing in her binder, and I just could never figure out what is she doing? What is she doing? But she had to be busy. To this day, she still has binders. She is so funny. I'm having little flashbacks here. Okay, moving on. But she has a lot of energy. She can go fly to New York and speak at a conference and then fly home and have a dinner party already planned. And then 2 days later, she repacks and goes to Chicago for overnight. And then she comes back and then she works in the city for about 4 days and then she'll go fly over here and she still does it. She has to be busy. I learned my lesson. Because now I'm so tired, I can't do anything. That's my lesson. So, my body, my mind, and my spirit, for all my Christian walk, they just long for that rest. But in my stupidity and in my pride, I would push through and push through and push through and push through. Without thinking. That's just what I did with my personality, okay? I would have what I call my Modesto mom, Jane Nat, she told me throughout the years, honey, are you doing too much? Oh, no, I'm not, Jane Nat, you know, kind of thing, so. You know, you look back. I mean, God gives you the grace and blesses anyway, because he's so good. But there were a few times over the years that I've actually planned days of rest, and I would do that. And there were a few times that I planned a day of rest for a group of women. And we all took a blanket and a picnic lunch, and we went up on a hill, and we spread out, and we all had our time with the Lord, and quiet time. It was wonderful. I regret that I didn't do it enough, and I regret that I certainly didn't do enough for me at that time. So why am I telling you all this? I'm just confessing here all my sins, but I'm telling you this so that if you haven't yet made those mistakes, like if you're young and you have a tendency toward that. You have somebody now telling you, don't do that. Whether you listened, I didn't listen to Janet. You may not listen to me. And you may in 15, 20 years stand up and say you're stupid and you were full of pride too. I don't know. But other people can relate and they know for themselves. I keep myself too busy. I don't know how to relax. I don't know how to rest. I mean, maybe there's one person that just says, I don't have a problem with that. I'm lazy. I need to get motivated. Well, I don't know what to say to that because it's very foreign, but so you have to hear Jesus say, come aside. Psalm 32, 8 and 9, the Lord gave me this verse the other day when I was thinking about myself at that time. He said, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. So that's right, that's what I was, yes. I do remember saying years ago, I don't know if I was telling Damien or if I was just talking to, I don't know who, if I was talking to myself probably, I just wish somebody would put me on restriction. You are on restriction. Do not come out of your room for a week. Or I wish that maybe some doctor would say to me, you're overworked, you need rest, take me to a spa and let me recuperate. Nobody ever said that. But you know what? That's not going to happen, because you have to listen to the still, small voice. So it is never too late to learn, and God is very merciful and very gracious. So what does this coming aside look like then? What am I talking about? What is she talking about coming aside? And maybe you already know, and maybe you don't know. But I'm going to tell you if you don't know, and I'm reminding you if you do know. Number one, there are no rules that anybody can make. The only rule is obedience, that you're hearing from the Lord as to do this and what to do. Are you physically, you might ask yourself these things, are you physically tired because you do not stop to take care of your physical needs? Maybe you are all much smarter than me. I have a good friend who has told me for a few years, and I'm listening to her, pace yourself, which at this point in time I have to, because I want to keep doing what I'm doing. I don't want to retire at this age. I'm so young, it's too early to retire. Pace yourself. But are you physically tired just simply because you are neglecting what your body needs? Being superwoman is unrealistic, and I will say this, and this might offend, but I'm saying this because I needed it said to me, but doing that is pride. It's just pride, right in the core. Because people say, oh, look at you, how can you do these things? Take that class. Take that humility class. That's a good one. Are you mentally tired? Maybe because of too much stress. Stress is a killer. Maybe you've taken on too much. Maybe you're staying too busy and you're physically tired and you're mentally tired. And most of the time it's fun things that we want to do. It's ministry related. It's good things that we want to do. I wanted to be involved in every kind of ministry. But we're not going to be good at one if we're too scattered. Maybe we're mentally tired because we are worrying so much, we're stressing ourselves out. And maybe we're emotionally tired. Ask yourself, am I emotionally tired? Why am I emotionally tired? Because of I'm physically tired, because I'm mentally tired. What is this? What is going on? I asked the Lord these things, and He has answered me, and we are correcting those things, and I'm very thankful. Are you feeling spiritually empty and drained, even though you're having a quiet time? Maybe your quiet time is dry. Maybe you feel like there's got to be something more. There's got to be something more. I'm to this Christian life. Well, maybe because Jesus is saying, come aside, and I'll talk to you about it. Come aside, I will show you. A lot of times we can feel that way if we don't have a consistent quiet time, but sometimes we can still feel that way when we do. So, if you hear Him saying this to you tonight, come aside, then you make a date. You make a date with Him and you follow through with that. When, Lord, when do you want me to, when do you want me to do this? Tomorrow? Tonight? When I, you know, go home? Tomorrow? The next day? This weekend? When do you want me to do this? Now, if you're like overwhelmed with a whole day, I don't know what I would do, I don't think I can do that, then you start with a half a day. Or you start with 1 hour. Whatever you can do, as long as you do it. Go somewhere different than where you normally have your quiet time. It's probably best to get out of your home. Even if you can only go into your backyard, then you go into your backyard. You just go somewhere different, where it looks different and it sounds different, somewhere quiet, somewhere restful. I would say, and I'm making a rule up here, but don't ever go with your cell phone or your iPad. That's very dangerous. You will get way too distracted. All you do is you take your Bible and your notebook and a pen, and you say, okay, I'm going to drive over to the church, and I'm going to go out and sit on the grass for an hour. I'm going to have this date. I'm going to come aside with the Lord, and I'm going to worship Him. Oh, but I need my phone to play my worship list. No, let's not do that. You can worship all by yourself. You can just speak words or sing songs. Nobody's going to be around. It doesn't matter what you sound like. You can read your Bible. You can just be quiet, be still, and listen. Write down what He speaks. Write down what your response is to what He speaks. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Psalm 131:2 says, "Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me." Now that speaks of a deliberate action and decision. I have quieted my soul. And that is only found when we come aside with the Lord, we wait on Him. Then there's going to be that rest, that contentment, and that peace. Isaiah 40 is very familiar to us, but listen to it like it's the first time. "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And those aren't just really nice words. And say, that's right. We need to do it. We need to wait on Him. We need to be quiet with Him. Jesus said in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." I want to read a quote from Hudson Taylor on this verse. He said, "To every toiling, heavy-laden sinner, Jesus says, 'Come to me and rest.' But there are also many toiling, toiling, heavy-laden believers. For them, this same invitation is offered. Note well the words of Jesus. If you are heavy laden with your service, the message isn't to labor on, as perhaps you imagine. On the contrary, it is to stop, turn back, and come to me and rest. Never did Christ send a heavy laden one to work. Never did he send a hungry one, a weary one, a sick or sorrowing one away on any service. For such the Bible only says, come, come, come. The worker is far more important to our Lord than the work. Isn't that great? He cares for us. And as we wait on the Lord, as we come aside just to be with him, he restores us. He renews us. He renews that strength. And just as when the disciples were in that boat on that stormy sea and just terrified, Jesus spoke, "Peace, be still," and the wind ceased, and there was great calm. And as we come aside with him and we wait on him, in a moment, he can speak the same thing to whatever our weariness is. Peace, be still, and it can lift just like that. So ask the Lord when he wants you to come aside with him. Ask him how he wants you to do it, where he wants you to do this, how much time he wants you to spend, how often he wants you to do this. Will you do it and not just listen and say, that is right, I have got to do that, that is, and then we just go. But to really, really make a point to do that. And maybe talk with one another after when we fellowship to say, I'm going to do this, so that person can hold you accountable, or you can hold that person accountable. You know, we need accountability. We do need follow-up. We need somebody to call us and say, hey, are you resting? Hey, did you come aside with the Lord? Tell me about it. How'd you do that? Was it wonderful? And we just start this new thing. In the Song of Solomon, the Shulamite spoke of her beloved, who she was so in love with, and he was so in love with her. And she said in chapter 2, the voice of my beloved, behold, he comes, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved spoke, and he said to me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Those words, you know, I mean, just, you know, in a romance movie, you're just like, oh, but Jesus is saying the same thing. He is the lover of our soul. And he's saying, rise up, my love, and come away. There is a very old Maranatha song called Come Away. And years ago, for at least a decade, probably a decade and a half, I woke up to that chorus every morning because that was my alarm. I had a clock radio with a cassette player, so you could actually, you know, that song would come on. I had it cued and everything, and it would come on. And I would hear that, well, I'm not going to sing it, but we're going to play it. It was just a great thing to wake up to. And I hope tomorrow morning you wake up with that, those words. Come aside. Come away. So before we dismiss, I want to pray, but before we dismiss, I want to play that song. It's very dated, so it can either take you back to a good place or you can sound hokey, but the words are great, especially the chorus. And Father, thank you so much that you say to us, come aside, come away, that you even want to, you want us to. Thank you, Lord, that you love us and you want to be with us. And Lord, I pray that as we take these things to heart and you speak to us, that, Lord, we will have such a wonderful date with you, that just the best time ever, and it will just make us hungry for more. Father, thank you for your love, for your great love and your long suffering toward us. In Jesus' name, amen.